Father, we just pause in your presence this morning. Our good daddy. The one that never leaves us, never forsakes us. The one that's always there for us. Father, we may not see it. We may not feel it. But I thank you, Jesus, that you are always working on our behalf. That you work all things together for our good. Father, we are honored to be in your presence this morning. The presence of a God that cares about us, that loves us, that knows our name, knows our background, knows our history, knows the ups and downs, but you still love us. Father, I thank you that you truly are a waymaker. That you truly are a light in the darkness. And so, Father, we just open our hearts right now to you and to what you have for us. Father, we believe that you have good things in store for us through the word that will be spoken today. Father, I pray your anointing. I pray your blessing. I pray your confidence and your boldness upon Dave this morning as he brings the word. Father, may it penetrate our hearts deeply. May we not leave this place the same way that we came. Father, we want to be more like you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you do for us. All God's people said, amen. Thank you for your worship this morning. Awesome.
Be seated. Glory to God. He is faithful, kind, and gracious, and at work in our lives. He's always good, even when we don't see it or feel it, just like we were just singing. And so we are just delighted that you're here today. Beautiful day, and it's not raining yet. And we're not complaining either, are we? No. But some were able to maybe slip out and get away to camp this weekend or whatever, and it's not raining yet, at least not yet today. We might get it before it's over, but anyhow, we're glad you're here. If you're joining online, we're especially glad that you're there watching and being a part of what God wants to do here in Ordinary Faith today. It's exciting, you know, as we talk about this aspect of Father's Day, and of course, we just bless each father in the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, a lot of times we tend to think of fathers, and in that sense, there's always something about relationship that comes up in the Christian life. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today. Last couple of times that I've been with you over the last month and a half is we talked through the book of Ephesians, and guess where we're going today? Ephesians. What a great book. I love Ephesians. And we are going to go there today, and I want to share out of Ephesians a little bit, but we're going to look at several scriptures, because the reality is that the Christian life, and actually it doesn't even be the Christian life, I mean, life itself is all about relationship. And so because of that, you know, that happens to be the area that the enemy attacks the most. We see it in our society today that family is being attacked. It is under attack because there is a desire on the part of the enemy, a part of the devil, to try to destroy family. Because that's exactly who God is. That's who he is. He is family. And sometimes when we think about family, some of us came out of some rough background as far as family goes. Maybe there is abuse or difficulties in our families. When we were growing up, maybe we have a hard time. I grew up, my dad was a little rough. You know, I've shared that before. And there's things that I'm thankful for, there's a lot of things that I had to pray through the years just to get healing in my heart. But we just sang that song that Jesus is the one that heals the broken heart. And all we have to do is in those areas, as we identify areas where we've been hurt, even if it's been years ago, even as a child, the Lord Jesus still is able to go and heal the hurt that was in our heart from childhood, youth, as adults, that happened yesterday. He heals the hurt if we'll ask. The key, as I talked about a few weeks ago, actually back when Pastor Michael was still here, we talked about the aspect of him healing the broken heart and bringing an adjustment there, bringing that wellness there in our spirit. And it gives us that sense of peace and joy to move us forward. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that aspect of relationship, because it affects every area of our life. It doesn't matter whether it's how we see God and our relationship with Him, or our relationship with each other, relationship with family, relationship with co-workers, or with those that we're in charge of, that we're the boss for or manager for, with our children. It just goes on and on. Relationship, and sometimes it's the most difficult area we deal with. And sometimes it's like we just feel like, maybe you've never been there. I've pastored for, 47 years. And it's like there's been lots of times in the midst of 47 years that it's like, you know what? Charlie Brown used to have this little saying. He says, "I love life. It's people I can't stand." Now, of course, as a pastor, see, you can't say that, you see. And it's not true. I mean, I love people because God loves people. But yet, you see, people are sometimes our greatest rub. They're the area where it's like it's hardest to work through. Because people are the ones that cause most of the hurt, disappointment, difficulty, problems, misunderstandings. And especially in the areas of where we don't agree. And in this day and age, of course, there's this whole thing about tolerance and tolerating and so on. But the problem with tolerance is, depending on how you define the word, see, some define the word that you have to tolerate me, which means you agree with me. Ooh. See? But see, God doesn't just tolerate us. He celebrates us. He loves us. He has a plan for our life. And so I want to encourage us today as we look at this, we dive into this a little bit, that God really does have a plan that He's working out in our lives, and that it's really good, even though it doesn't feel good sometimes. And sometimes we don't understand what He's doing or why He's doing, or sometimes we use this word, He allows things. Most of the time, the allowing is just the fact that because we're in the world, it's what's being produced, you see, just with all the things going on around us. It's not so much that God's orchestrating anything. He's able to take everything that we've gone through and take and turn it and bring good out of it, even though He did not order it to begin with. Did you hear me? See, because sometimes we think God orders everything. But see, you and I make our own choices and decisions just like every other person that we're dealing with makes choices and decisions. And so we're going to jump in here, and I want to just talk about this aspect of relationship as it pertains to every area that I'm aware of at this point. And so here's the reality. God loves us. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him, they would not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life. And the reality is that God so loved, and that's why we're here, that's why we're worshiping and praising God, is because He loved us and He provided a way of salvation or forgiveness, not just forgiveness, but a entry into relationship, into family. You see, God Himself is family. We talk about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God in himself is complete as a family. He is family. But when he created Adam, when he created man, he was bringing forth a desire to bring others into family. And so that's why he created Adam with the same spirit that God himself has. Doesn't make us God, it makes us like him. So he created us in his own likeness so that we would have the ability to have relationship, the ability to love. You see, you guys are really quiet. You know that makes me nervous when you get really quiet. You got to get a little more vocal out here. And we talk about this. But the reality is that God created us for relationship. He created us to have relationship with him. And so God loved us. It says in Ephesians. So we're going to jump in there. You know what? I better get some glasses on. Hang on. Give me just a moment. You're supposed to think about all that before you get up here, right? I won't tell you what my wife forgot yesterday coming. Okay. All of us forget something once in a while. Here we go. All right, so I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And here's what he says. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Say every spiritual blessing. I have no idea what that means. Have you ever thought about every spiritual blessing? I mean, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. In where? The heavenly realms. What in the world does that mean? Every spiritual blessing that's in heaven is available for us to draw on. Every spiritual blessing. All right, so I got to go on or I'll start preaching right there and we'll never get out of there. All right, so every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Because we are united in Christ, we are in him and he is in us. And there's intimacy or relationship there. Here it says that because we're united with him, every spiritual blessing has come to us. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Hallelujah. Chose us in Christ. Now, I want to urge you individually, we should be taking this on because he's saying it to us as an individual, as a person, but also as a church. You see, that's part of the rub, right? Relationship is not just about the people we're around all the time. It's about the church and having a relationship there. And he says, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. All right. So you guys have to lighten up, man. It's Father's Day. Come on. You're going to have to give me a little leeway here. All right. So without fault in his eyes. We don't have a clue what that looks like either, do we? See, because we can't imagine because we're always looking at ourselves and condemning ourselves in certain areas. Oh, how stupid that was. Or maybe you've never done that. But, you see, we put ourselves in that situation where we see all of our faults. And so sometimes we're trying to see, that's where pride gets in there because we see our faults. So then our pride kicks up and so we try to cover them. And so we put on a certain air to try to cover our faults and that's really pride. Or we're going around saying, oh, I'm just nothing. Well, no, you're not nothing. Because God made you in his image. He loved you. He chose you. You are significant. Every person in here, in the hearing of my voice, whether online, at home, wherever you are, if you watch this weeks later, every person is significant to God. He chose you in Christ Jesus, not because you're a mess, but because he loves you. And he says, I don't care about the mess. I'm not focused on your faults and your weaknesses. I know your dust. That's why I redeemed you. I chose you. I'm calling you out into a greater life than you've ever had before. And he goes on here. It's hard for me to get past that one, though. Without fault in his eyes. Are you kidding? How can God, who is perfect, look at me, who is totally imperfect, and go, "It's all right, Dave. I know what you're made up of. I know where you've been. I know where you're going." And he loves me still. Wow. Come on. He loves you too. See, it'd be good practice to look in the mirror in the morning instead of, yeah, come on. Yeah, you know, look in the mirror in the morning and say, "Dave Limmer, you..." Well, you don't need to say Dave Limmer, but you know what I mean. "Dave Limmer, you are loved and awesome because Christ is in you." Amen. See, you need to say it to yourself. See, you need to speak and declare the word of the Lord over your own life. See? Yeah, declare the word of the Lord. "I am chosen." Look in the mirror and say to yourself, "I am chosen. I am loved by God. I'm loved." Why? Because that's what the word of God says. And it's good to declare or speak what the word of God says. Because here's what he says. Job 22, 28 says this. It's not on the screen, but it says, Job 22, 28 says, "Declare a matter, and God will establish it for you. And you will walk in the light of that declaration." So when you declare, "I am so stupid," well, guess what you're going to walk in? Huh? We have to be careful, see, because the scripture says, Matthew chapter 12, that by your words you are free, and by your words you are condemned. See, our words condemn ourselves sometimes because we don't believe that we're loved. We don't believe, or we don't feel like we're loved. I want to ask for a show of hands, because if you didn't raise it, I'd have to give an altar call for not being truthful. Because we've all felt like we weren't loved. We've all felt that. One way or another, one time or another, somewhere in our life, we felt like we didn't fit, we didn't belong, we weren't as good as. There's always that thing of comparing ourselves among ourselves, which Paul writes in Corinthians. He says, that's not wise to do that. Don't compare yourself among yourselves. All right. This might be an easy day for our word people, because I might not get out of this verse here yet. All right, here we go. So we are holy. He intends us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Then it goes on. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family, his very own family. He adopted us into his family. Now, you understand, with adoption, it's a choice on his part. He didn't have to, but he chose us. He chose us. That's why he said earlier, "I chose you, I loved you." Now he comes to the slave block. It's like we are slaves to sin, slaves to the enemy, apart from God. And he comes and they're auctioning off. The devil is auctioning your life off cheap, because he says you're a loser, that you'll never amount to anything. Even if you live this life and you make lots of money and you have prestige and you have all those things, but you come to the end of this life and there is nothing after this apart from God, except for destruction. But see, God says, "No, listen, I loved you and I've redeemed you to myself. I bring you, I adopt you into my family. I chose you, I purchased you off the block, so that you are mine." He goes on. "By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. Woohoo! Ka-ching! That's a great word, man. Isn't that good? That's such a good word. Now, he goes on. I just encourage you, because guaranteed, now I'd love to preach it all day, but we didn't tell you to pack your lunch, so we won't go there. But let me just encourage you that you go on and read chapter 1. I just encourage you to go through chapter 1 and just highlight everything that he says you are in or through Christ. Just go through it and write it out. Just make little bullet points and write it out and just begin to say those things over yourself every morning when you get up. When you get up, look in the mirror and just speak one of those things. I am chosen in Christ Jesus. I am loved in Christ Jesus. I have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I'm adopted in Christ Jesus. I'm beloved. You know who else he said was beloved? Remember when he spoke over Jesus? He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Well, guess what? When he says, "There's no fault in my eyes against you," that means, you know what? God the Father does not guilt you. He does not condemn you. He does not judge you. Okay, now there is a judgment. But if we're in Christ, we bypass that. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? All right. Well, there's more here. We better get there. Now, let me just encourage you that it's important. If we understand that God loves me, then it's like it would be important for me to love me. Selah. See, because sometimes we think, well, loving me, that's pride. No, pride is selfish, arrogance, resistance against God. Pride. Okay? Pride says, I'll do it myself, I'll do it my own strength. No, loving yourself is agreeing with God that you are created special in His image and that He has loved you and chosen you. That's what it's agreeing with. See, loving yourself is being able to come under that self-control. And so let's look at this. This is interesting too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says this. I don't think you guys have that one. But it says this, if you have your Bibles there, verse 10. He says, "For we are God's masterpiece or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," or He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, "so that we can do good things that He has planned for us to do long before we got to this point." In other words, God's already prepared some things that are amazing that He's already got for you to do. And see, sometimes we know, well, I don't know what those are. It's what you're living. See, God's working in our lives in special ways so that we're living in what He's working in us every day. There's a growing in Him. Every day I'm growing up in Christ. And sometimes like, well, I don't even know that I'm doing anything for God. Well, just because you're part of the family, see, sometimes, you know, when you have family and the kids, you know, sometimes they're not doing anything, but you just love them. Especially when they're little, right? And sleeping. But there's times when they're not doing anything, they don't do anything, and it's just your heart goes out of you, oh, I just love you. And that's how God is all the time. Now, how He does that, I have no idea, but it's cool that He does. He loves us like that. He's going, man, I just love you. Do you love me just when I'm sleeping? No, He says He loves us. He loves everything about us. Jeremiah 29 says this. It says, "I know the thoughts I think about you. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future and not harm you." But see, sometimes we have the idea that God is not for us, but that He's kind of, you know, some of us are waiting for the other shoe to drop. You ever been in that place? It's like, well, everything in my life's going wrong, And I guess, what's one more thing? And somehow we kind of think that it's related to God. But see, the things that are going difficult in our life is not God saying, well, I'm going to teach you patience. No. No, every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of light. And He doesn't change. You know, there's no shadow with God. Now, I don't know, that's so cool too, that I can't get in there. I'll be there for a while. But there's no shadow change. He doesn't change. He doesn't, I'm this way here, but I'm this way with you, you know. I'm really good to this person, but I'm not so good with you. I mean, there's no, He cannot change. That's amazing. All right, I got to get on here. So here's the thing. You know, Scripture is just so cool. James 1:17 says this. Whatever is good and the perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all lights in heaven. He never changes and never casts a shadow. Never. Just amazing to me. All right. So here's the thing. If we don't love ourselves, it's real hard to love others, right? So we have this commandment, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here. So if God loved us, He wants us to love Him, right? And you remember the greatest commandment that Jesus said, you know, He's asked, what is the greatest commandment? And the greatest commandment, for those of you that know that little story, the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength, right? So here's where he gets it. It's interesting. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Okay, Deuteronomy. See, Jesus quotes a lot of scripture out of Deuteronomy. It's interesting. Out of Psalms as well. But he quotes this scripture. And when asked by an expert, he says, what is the greatest command? Jesus responds with this scripture. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Where are they to be? In your heart. It's a heart issue. Relationship is a heart issue. But our mind gets in the way sometimes. See? Because we get offended in our mind, and then we pull our heart back. Right? We get hurt by someone, and we pull our heart back. Somebody abuses us, and we pull our heart back. Why? Because that wounding, see, left unhealed is going to infect, and it's going to cause resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness. But here's what he says. Listen, he says, I want you to repeat this to your children. Talk about them when you sit in the house. He gives four directions. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Okay? Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, let me just highlight that. This was kind of the motto that I adopted even as we were raising our three sons, is that, you know, family devotion sometimes used to be, you know, you had a set time, you had to do it and make the kids sit there. And a lot of times the kids got to where they resented that. But the scripture says Deuteronomy was much more fluid. And he said, listen, I want you to teach when you get up in the morning, if you have occasion. I want you to teach as you're driving them to school. Right? And that's what he says, right? As you're walking in the way. And so as you're driving them to soccer practice, and something comes up about, well, you know, my friend, he said this about me, and I don't like it, and I don't want to be friends with him anymore. And so guess what? We got an opportunity to talk about building relationship as we're driving them to soccer practice, because they're going to have to meet their friend there, and they're going to have to settle this issue. So we have opportunity to teach the truth of if you'll love God, God will give you strength to walk this out. Why? Because if you love God, then you're going to be able to love your neighbor. If you don't love God and you don't love yourself, it's real tough to love anybody else. Whew, got quiet in here again. Making me nervous. All right, so here he says, listen, when you get up, when you lay down at night, I remember one of our sons, every night we'd be putting the boys to bed, we'd pray over them, and as soon as we finished praying, all of a sudden he started asking questions, spiritual questions, you know, and it's time to go to bed, right? You know the question where, can I have a glass of water? Can I have this? Can I have that? Well, the reality, he started asking spiritual questions. So we would spend sometimes even an hour just talking about spiritual things when they were going to bed. And that was a devotion time. It says, when you walk in the way, when you're driving to practice, when you get up in the morning. I had another son, my third son, he's a breakfast person. And so he's always talking when he's up and eating breakfast. And then he says, when you're sitting around, I want you to talk about these things. See, listen, talking about relationship and how we work through those relationships is critical, is important. I have a pastor friend in Michigan, been with him numerous times, and he loves the movie. I don't watch much TV, but I've seen it a couple times. This movie, Blue Bloods. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. Anyhow, it's a police, kind of a police story, and the end of the TV show, every time, it's the whole family sitting around the table and talking about life and what's going on. And the reality is that they're, you know, we've gotten away from sitting around the table. You used to do it all the time. You know, many of you older ones grew up in a home where you'd eat meals together. Now it's like you're eating meals on the run. It's always flat. And sometimes kids are in other rooms eating their dinner in the other rooms and whatever else. But God says, listen, when you have occasion to sit down and talk together, this is a time when you can download and talk about things that are critical in regards to relationship. Why? Because relationship is the issue about almost everything. Although now we are seeing our young people where they don't have to have personal relationship because they can sit across the room from each other and text each other. Right? You guys are quiet again. Maybe some of you do that. Rather than talking to the person, I'm going to text. And we think that way I don't have to necessarily confront. But you understand there's still relationship going on there. There's still relationship. And so that's affecting some things that are happening. And so anyhow, he goes on here. Leviticus chapter 19 says this. Leviticus 19:17, do not nurse hatred in your heart for any of your relatives or any other person. Okay? And then he goes on and he says this, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So there's two different verses here that contain the command that Jesus says is important. The first one is the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, he says, is to love your neighbor. Say it again. Love your neighbor as? Love your neighbor as? You might have to say it with an attitude. Love your neighbor as? As yourself. So the reality is if you don't love yourself, if you don't love who God's made you and what He's working in your life, if you keep thinking, well, I'm a mistake or I'm not this or that, Jesus wants to heal that area where you have believed that there's something wrong with you, something that you wish wasn't there. Sometimes even in this world that we're facing now, even with the whole transgender element, it comes back to a discomfort with something about myself. And it's one of the key elements is that I am not willing to accept or love who God made me. Even though, see, I look at things that I don't like about myself And I can focus on those things. But see, God says, hey, be thankful about what you do have, what you do enjoy. And it's like, if I can focus on what I enjoy, it will change how I treat other people. Because if I kind of like what God's doing in my life, then it's like I enjoy being around other people, talk about what God's doing in their life. And I want to love them, encourage them, and build them forward. And so Jesus, he uses this scripture in Mark chapter 12. And it's, I won't read it all because of our time, but there again, he's asked the question by a religious leader, and he responds, what's the greatest command? What's most important? The Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second is equal to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other command is greater than these. Okay, so in John, Jesus is talking about this. He says, listen, if you keep my commandments, then you love me. And if you love me, I'm going to come and build my home in you. And sometimes we take that as a threat. It's like, well, if you don't love me, then I'm not coming. That's not what that scripture is saying. In fact, what it's saying is, if you have my commands, my word is going to give you the ability to love, to do what is, it should be natural, but because of our sin nature, it's not natural to love others very easy, especially if we're hurt. I won't ask for a show of hands. Is it easy to love people that don't love you back? Is it easy to love people that are abusive, take advantage of you, blow up at you, cuss you? No. Doesn't feel good. It's not fun. It's not easy. In fact, sometimes we're in private thinking, oh, to be thy hand extended. I want to give you a little fivefold ministry here. Why? Because it hurts, and relationship is hard. It's difficult to love even when we're not being loved. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, God, are you sure? Are you serious now? You know what they did to me. You know what they said. You know how they've acted, how they've abused. And it's not just been one time. Maybe it's been over and over and over and over, and it's been so hard on us. But you see, Jesus wants to transform me in the heart, not in my head. He wants to transform my heart so that I can do what is humanly impossible. And that is to love someone that doesn't deserve it. To honor someone who doesn't deserve it. You know why we honor? It's not because they did something honorable. It's because we're honorable. Didn't catch that. You know why we honor someone, put honor on them? Because you and I are honorable, not because they deserve it. You know, we have people in position, maybe in a boss, maybe in government, in city government or whatever, wherever you're working. And sometimes they are not acting honorable. But we honor them not because they deserve it, but because we're honorable. See? Good book to read is the book of Daniel. It helps us to understand that in greater measure. But here's the thing, see, as I honor, I can love and show that love and give that love for them. And so let me just encourage you. See, Jesus says, love the Lord your God, love others, love yourself. All right, so we have three elements to love. Well, the empowerment to do that is the fact that God loved us and chose us and has redeemed us to himself. And so he empowers us by the Holy Spirit to be able to do the impossible. One of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms is the capacity to love. That's a blessing, to be able to love others. Love your wife, when you don't feel like it. or your husband, or your children, or your parents. Huh? Love them. And we don't have time to go through it all, but if we go on over here to chapter 5 of Ephesians, we hear him say there, he says, listen, submit one to another. Oh, don't you love that word, submit? Isn't that just a cool word? Submit one to another. Yeah. And I was like, be hanged if I will. See, I mean, there's a part of us that's like, we don't like that word. Especially for you ladies that are wives, it's like submit to your own husbands. But he doesn't deserve it. Now, maybe you've never felt that. Bless your heart if you've never felt that. That is awesome. You're amazing. You are a saint for sure. Well, you're all saints if you're in Christ anyway, but because that's who he's writing to. But here's the thing. See, he talks about this aspect of submitting one to another. Well, submission isn't that I am obeying in everything. See, people say, well, I have to obey in everything. What if they want me to sin? Well, you don't sin because that's not obedience. See, let me give you a picture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Book of Daniel. Great story, right? And the King Nebuchadnezzar has this statue, this image, and everybody in the kingdom is going to bow down and worship, right? Remember the story? We've got to go through it quick because I'm out of time. And these guys won't bow down and worship, right? So the king brings them in and he says, you guys got to bow down and worship. And here, listen to their response. It's so critical. This is so crucial that we understand this principle. And they said, they honor the king. They submit to the king and still disobeyed. Hang on. O king, live forever. We honor you. May you live forever. You're awesome. You're incredible. We honor you. But just know this day that we're not bound down to that image. You see, they submitted without obeying. Children, young people, you can honor mom and dad, okay? But if they ask you to do something that is sinful, you may have to resist. Now, most of the time, mom and dad are not going to ask you to do something sinful. It's quite the opposite, right? But see, here's the thing. See, relationship, he goes, same thing, husbands and wives. He says, submit one to another, honor one another, prefer one another, bless one another, love one another, right? But then husbands, how about this one? He says, you need to honor your wife. Same thing. No difference, no distinction. See, sometimes we make it different. Wives have to do this. Well, no, when you love your wife, you understand you lay your life down for her. Ooh, got quiet in here again. What a great Father's Day we're having here. Woo! Yeah, husbands, lay your life down. You're laying your life down. You are giving up, submitting, honoring, preferring, lifting her up. Right? That's relationship. And it's there. You can read it. It's all right there. Glory to God. And he goes on, right? And he talks about children. Children, obey your parents in some things. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the first command with promise. In other words, as you honor and obey your mom and dad, God's going to honor and bless you. If you'll learn how to submit and honor parents, guess what? It'll be a whole lot easier to submit and honor in your marriage. Uh-huh. If I'm rebellious in my growing up years as a kid, as a teenager, guess what happens in my marriage? Woo, quiet in here again. Woo. Oh, see? See, if we'll learn it, see, that's why it's so important to be teaching, you know, when you get up, when you go to bed, when you're driving down the street, and when you're sitting around the table. See, sometimes it's like, okay, you're watching a movie, and something, a teaching point comes on in that movie. And it's like, can you put it on pause? Can you Pause that, baby. Hey, what would you guys do in this situation? How would you handle that? There's a teaching moment. Hey, let's take advantage of this. Why? Because we have to teach and encourage our kids on how to love others. But you have to build in them love for themselves as well. And the way to model that is how you love yourself so that you can love them. Thank you, God, for who you've made me, who you created me to be. Let me just encourage you. I'm going to close up here. We're going to sing just a minute, but I want to encourage you. There's going to be some people here that will be willing to pray with you. They'll be right over here at the table on your left. I'll get it right here. My right left. But I want to encourage you today. Maybe there's an area of relational struggle going on in your life. Maybe you're here today and you've never really surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And not because I was here preaching, but the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. And today's the day. You're wanting to give your life to Jesus Christ. Today's a great day to do that. I want to encourage you that you can just come and pray with somebody. Or if you're struggling in a particular relationship, why don't you just come and we'll be happy to pray with you and just come in agreement. Scripture says where two of us agree as touching anything on earth in prayer, our Father will do it. And so we want to agree with you and just pray with you that God's going to do something bigger in you, through you, for you than you know. We don't have because we don't ask. So this morning, Holy Spirit's drawing you. Worship team, you can come. And so we're going to, during this song, I just encourage you, the prayer team will be over there. I encourage you, just while we're singing, and you can stand with us here. And I'm just going to pray for you as you stand. Will you stand with us? So Jesus, thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, which is beyond our comprehension. And that you give us power to love each other, but to love ourselves as well. But most of all, to love you back. And so, Lord, I pray that areas where we've been doubting, where we've been frustrated, areas where we felt like you weren't there for us, where you didn't answer, Lord Jesus, would you just grant that there would be a healing and a restoring of relationship, even between me and you today? And Jesus, we just ask that you would minister life, your life, spiritual blessing, the reality that you've chosen us and called us to every person here, every person that's watching online. We ask it for your name's sake, for your glory and praise. And everyone said, amen.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to make room, and I will make room for you.
Oh Lord,
do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to.
All you want to, Lord,
I will make room for you.
Yes, I will.
To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. So shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, tear down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Yes, shake up the ground of all my tradition, tear down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to.
Make that your prayer this morning.
Whatever you want to. I will make room for you. To do whatever you want to. I will make room for you.
Yes, Lord.
To do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Thank you.
One more. What do you think? You guys are quiet. Let's just honor the Lord again on this Father's Day Sunday. He carries the name that's above every name.